Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast for Rossdale Homes. Because trust is a must. Rossdalehomes.com.au 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, hello and good morning to 5AA. I mean, Mix 102. Hello and welcome to Triple M. How well are done, you, Roo?
Well done, Ditch. You would have never have made a mistake like that before in
bloody
all
hell.
Your years of being the leading MC in South Australia.
You're right.
You're faultless out there.
Yeah. I'll tell you about my rap sheet later on. Oh, gee. Hey, did you get to hear?
At least there wasn't many people watching. It wasn't a very big audience, or it really didn't mean much.
Under the radar, like you'd say?
Yeah. Just a little mistake.
Now, we'll find out exactly how
it
happened.
And they picked it up so quick.
We now know how it happened. We're going to cross to the US later on this morning and get it explained.
Really?
Someone's claimed responsibility.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Roo, yesterday did you get to hear much of Midnight Oil running Triple M yesterday?
Bit, yeah, I did.
I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I think they had a few beauties. A couple there that I thought were not so happy about. I actually text Vinny at some stage. What the hell is this?
Vinny Shannon, our music director.
Yeah, blame Midnight Oil. Yeah. Right? They're doing it. I forgot.
Well, I never ever thought I'd hear the Sex Pistols on Triple M, but they got a run yesterday.
Sex Pistols,
yeah. Johnny Rotten, Sid Vicious.
How many of them are still alive?
Oh, I think they all are.
Are they?
I reckon one got time for murder, though. They've had a checkered history.
Murder.
I think so. Yes. They've had an interesting life. They really have. But today, from 9 o'clock, what is it? 104 minutes of the best rock. So, if you love your music.
Stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned to Triple M. What's coming up today, Roo?
We've got the Angels coming up later on. Will Anderson's going to join us. The Nokia is making a comeback. We're going to go to Trevor Long.
The Nokia?
Nokia 3310, I think it is. And I think people will get back into this a little bit. Some people are sick of their smartphones being so smart and taking up so much of their life. So
good point.
There's a lot of people who just want a phone just to answer and make calls with.
Question that's going to come up with the Angels later on this morning, Roo. This is on the back of my little trip around the wineries on the weekend. Are women worse on the grog than men?
Oh, that's obvious.
Oh, I know. We know the answer to that.
Are you asking?
Because I want them to admit it. The Angels.
We know
the answer, Roo.
They don't make mistakes.
Oh, come on.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
37 today, Roo. Whoa.
She's going to be hot.
Wear the shorts to work.
Yes. And, it'll be warm for a couple of days, but not too bad. Not in the 40s, anyway.
No. Hey, things making news right around the world. There's a website called Essential Kids that I've never been to, and I doubt you have, but obviously a lot of people do that have got children. They go there for advice and read different articles. Mel the Button Pusher, who's got a little two-year-old Sinead, has pointed out an article to us this morning, and we're going to cover this with the Angels a little bit later on. Never, ever get a man to babysit your kids. Now, it's something I've never ever thought of before, but we do use women always, don't we? You always get, does anyone know a girl? Does anyone know a teenage girl that, you know, wants some pocket money? Or we never get a boy over, or we never get a man to look after our kids.
No, unless it's a family member or, you know, a nephew or a...
But even then you don't.
Oh,
pretty rare.
Yeah, definitely less.
No one's ever asked me to come around and look after their kids.
Probably good.
But they'd ask Kate. The lovely Kate gets asked.
Yeah, look, I think that's the case.
But do we not trust men? What's the story?
Oh, I think most men probably don't want to do it.
You reckon?
I think so. I think, generally speaking, the girls are more interested in babysitting than boys.
So if you're, now, as we know, heck of a lot of people divorce these days and in single relationships on their own. So you're that single father, you've got your boys or your kids, or your girls for the weekend. Mm-hmm. And you say, get your friends over. Let's have a bit of a play date. So from what we're reading on this in this article, are women out there saying, oh, I'm not sending my kids around there because he's a bloke. He's on his own. But if the kids were with their mum for the weekend, I'd send them around. Is that what they're saying?
I think that's what they're saying, yeah. I guess there's been some pretty bad headlines about blokes, in families, over the last 12 months, which probably hasn't done any good for confidence. Hasn't done us any favours. Hasn't painted us in a great light. And that's just continuing to get worse and worse. So
are we saying we're trying to be a non-sexist society, but...
No, it's all right if it's against blokes.
Yeah, that's right. But but I'm here to say it as well, that really, we only want girls looking after our kids, don't we? It's just more... Is it more natural because they are childbearers or...
I think all that is happening there is it's eliminating the chance of a bloke taking the opportunity if he was keen on doing it.
Mm. All right.
Isn't it?
I suppose. But I'd never thought about it before until this article came to light, until Mel showed me before.
Well, I suppose it's getting.
But it's true, though. If you want your children babysat, you tend to, don't you? You say, oh, who's got a daughter that we know of? Who's got a sensible daughter, you know, in the neighbourhood that can come around and...
Yeah, well, that's because they're better at it. Are they?
They're better at it.
Oh, I think they are.
And then you come home and she's got her boyfriend on the couch. You go, oh, I like her. Oh, righto. Yeah, anyway.
Better bloke there anyway.
Yeah. Hey, something else making news. Now, yesterday, you heard about the polls. Malcolm Turnbull's taking a big dip.
Yep.
But are his mates or his ex-mates doing him any favours? He kind of suggested that Tony Abbott orchestrated the whole thing on the weekend, bagging... the performance, and he said he deliberately did it the day before the polls are announced, and it's an old trick apparently. Kevin Rudd did it with Julia Gillard many times. They'd wait until it's just the day before the polls are released, and then they say something negative, right? So then they take a bit of a crash. The other one is Corey Bernardi, who I spoke to you about a week or two ago. He hasn't done them any favour. Now, I know he's left the party, but all of a sudden he's been accused of leaking information as well.
Not sure about whether he should be leaking information. I think there should be some sort of rules about information that you got before you left the party.
Corey, if you want to move on, move on.
I don't know about Abbott, what he's trying to do. Is he trying...
Well, he wants his job back, I reckon.
Nah, he's not going to get that. He's a million to one. I think he wants Turnbull out and Dutton to get the gig.
There are people rallying around Abbott trying to get him back into the cabinet role, which I don't even know what that means, but there are people rallying around him trying to get him back into a senior position.
I think Abbott wants to get rid of Turnbull and get Dutton in because he's worried about which way they're going and doesn't want Labor to win the next election.
Yeah. Anyway, look, the only reason I raise this is the Liberal Party at the moment are just not doing themselves any favours. They're imploding and arguing amongst themselves.
It's not a good look.
Nah.
Not a good look.
Now, with the Oscars yesterday, Roo, as I said earlier, we'll go to the United States later on this morning and find out the exact story. But would you believe, now, you know this new building, this beautiful building we sit in here at Triple M?
Mm-hmm.
It's the Price Waterhouse Coopers building.
PwC.
They've admitted liability in this stuff up. PricewaterhouseCoopers in America have come out and said it's all their fault. Can you believe this?
All the way from Adelaide.
Yeah. No, it wasn't the bloke we see in the lift here, Mr. PricewaterhouseCoopers. Yeah. It's someone over there in LA.
So what'd they do?
Right, so there's a bit of a long-winded story, but I've got to the bottom of this.
What's
right?
The short version?
Short version is there are two suitcases. You know when you see the Brownlow medal votes arrive in a suitcase?
With a muscle-bound security guard.
There are two of them for the Oscars, and they take different routes. Someone holding
they need
that
two for?
In case, imagine you're heading there in traffic, and LA traffic, you're held up, or you have a praying, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What they do is they send another one along another route, so that at least one of you is going to get there.
One's going to get there.
When they both arrive, and they did both arrive, one stands at either side of the stage, so that when you're coming up as a presenter, you are handed the card. So there are identical sets of winners' cards or envelopes in each suitcase on each side of the stage.
Yep.
Emma Stone won Best Actress. So out of one suitcase, they've handed the presenter, here's the envelope, they open it and go, Emma Stone, La La Land.
Mm.
On the other side of the stage, Warren Beatty's walked up. He's handed an envelope, and he got handed the same one that says Emma Stone, La La Land. He should have got handed the next envelope in the sequence, which is Best Movie.
Right.
Have I lost you there, or does that make sense?
Yeah, a little bit. But so he got the next award before the first one, is that right?
Gee, I thought you were following me there. Gee,
well,
was I going too quick?
No, you might. Well, maybe I'm going a bit slow.
Right, so out of one suitcase, there's a whole set of envelopes.
Yeah.
And the second to last envelope is Emma Stone, Best Actress, La La Land, which means there's the one envelope to go in that suitcase.
On the other side of the stage,
there's two envelopes to go because they've still got Emma Stone, right, Best Actress, and they've got the Best Movie.
Yeah.
Coming up from that side of the stage, they've been handed the Emma Stone one that's already been read out because it came from an envelope on the other side of the stage.
They think it'd be a bit easier than that.
Well, this is how they're explaining it as to why it happened.
It's no wonder there hasn't been more stuff ups than if that's the case.
Yeah. So are you with me or not?
Sort of with you. It sounds
Mel
bit...
the button pusher. Now, you've heard the same explanation. Do you get what I'm saying or
yeah,
not?
Yeah, I do.
Could you explain it better?
No, I think you explained it pretty clearly.
I don't know.
But Warren Beatty, you could see he was really confused because he opened it up and he saw Emma Stone, where he should have been seeing a film title.
That's right.
And so he's had to have his best guess, which was La La Land, the film she was in.
Yeah. Because that envelope's already been used from the other side of the stage, the duplicate one.
Yes.
And it's already been read out.
Yeah.
And then, that's how it happened.
But it was read out from Suitcase A, and he got the same one from Suitcase B
that wasn't used. That's right.
Gee.
That's a better explanation. Thank you.
Right.
Should have used A and B.
Throw C in there and I'll be more
confused. Now,
have you ever seen Abbott and Costello, who's on first? Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what's making news right around the world.
Ruined Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
37 degrees today in Adelaide, Roo.
Beautiful week ahead.
Yeah, it's going to be warm. This man, he will be warm in Adelaide as well. He's heading our way.
He'll be hot.
Will Anderson will be on fire. Good morning, Will.
Good morning. If it's going to be 37, I may well be on fire.
Hey, you know those tents down at the garden, they're very well air-conditioned, aren't they?
No, they're beautifully air-conditioned, but occasionally I like to turn the air-conditions off so that we can do Bikram comedy. It's really good.
Bikram comedy.
Recovery after a big weekend. Come on a Sunday, do some stretches, have some laughs.
I like
take off a couple of kilos. Yeah. By the way, boys, I need to point out you might hear cars going by because you've got me at home this morning and I have terrible reception at my house. So I'm in one place where I can get reception, which is the middle of the street outside my house.
Beautiful.
You cannot stand on either footpath. So at the moment, I'm like one of those kids playing cricket where you have to keep moving it out of the way when the cars go by.
Got your jammies on?
Oh, hang on. Here comes another car. I'm just going to have to dodge out of the way of this one. Anyway,
you know what's going to happen? The car's going to go past and go, that was Will Anderson. And the other car, no, it wasn't. Hang on, we'll go back. And they're just going to keep coming back and forwards now.
Well, I mean, look, to be honest, if I'm killed live on air, it'll be great for your ratings. You've got a good survey coming up.
Fair point. Now, did you see Eddie Maguire? They've extended 3 more years at Collingwood as the president.
Ah, mate, like, I love that he pretends that he's even extending it 3 more years. This is president for life at Collingwood, mate. You know, they're going to bury him there. In fact, he's probably just staying long enough that his boys can take over. I smell a Kim Jong-un-style succession plan. even if you sniff around the Collingwood presidency, suddenly Gary Pert will be alone in a room with some dogs and he'll be done. You know, that's how Eddie gets stuff done around that area. So, no, I mean, I say, Eddie, lock it in. Another 3 years.
Hey, well, last week when we spoke, you had a bit of a sore neck. You had a bit of a growth in there. How's it going?
Yeah, well, it hasn't got any bigger. That's the good news. No, I've got to go. Actually, I'm going in today. So, you know.
What are you getting done?
I have to go in and get the results of my biopsy. You know, I had my CAT scan and my biopsy, so they're going to tell me what's in there. And as I mentioned to you last week, I mean, obviously, you know, I start doing my shows on Monday, so if it's anything serious, I imagine there's an award in there of some kind.
Yes.
Probably a couple of awards. Probably some 5-star reviews in the Advertiser, I would have thought, if I'm dying.
Are you nervous?
Well, you're talking about the sympathy vote. Is that what you're after?
Well, I'm just saying, if I'm going to die, you might as well milk it. I should have called the show Critically Will. I should have called it Terminally Will.
Terminally Will.
Speaking of awards, the Oscars went well.
Oh, mate, I love that. In fact, I loved hearing all the other speeches. I feel like they should do that, say, at the Brownlow, for example. Say, about round 18, you know, where there's still 4 or 5 people in it, take the votes in secret after that. Get them all up on stage to make their speeches, and then they start playing the music when the one who actually won one. I think that's great. I would love nothing more than that. Or maybe that's how they should have got Job to hand his back.
Yeah.
They should have got Job up there on Brownlow Night and go, guys, turns out there's been a terrible mistake. It's Sam Mitchell and Trent Cotchin. Sorry about this.
That would have been gold, that one. What about Clipsal, Will? Do you get into that while you're over here?
Well, here's the good news about the Clipsal is that every year after Clipsal, someone will vomit in my tent at the show. So, really looking forward to that. Last year, two girls spilt a bottle of wine that they'd smuggled into the show and then just had a fight with each other in the middle of my show about who was going to go and get another bottle of wine.
Oh, no.
It wasn't even heckling. They were just doing their own show in the middle of my show.
That does not sound like Adelaide and it does not sound like the Clipsal.
No, wrong crowd.
The Clipsal's always really good for the people who are performing next to it in tents because turns out those cars are really loud, guys. Always great fun.
The Garden of Unearthly Delights. Isn't it?
We'll see you down here soon. Well, in fact, he's on from March 6 to 19. Hey, good luck today, too, in all seriousness.
Thanks, boys. I'm sure it'll all be fine. But if it's not, people can hear about it all next week.
All right. Good he's in town, Will. As I said, cheers, March 6 to 19, down at the Garden, Will Anderson.
Triple M.
7:28. It's ruined. It's for breakfast. Thanks to Rossdale Homes. Make sure you talk to them even before you buy your land, and they've got great advice for you all the way through the process. Now, Roo, we know the biggest stuff up of all time happened yesterday at the Oscars.
Yes. Thanks for explaining that to me earlier on in the show. I've got my head around it now.
You have? Yeah. How it happened?
Yes.
Laura Turner, Channel 9's from Channel 9, will join us after 8 o'clock to explain exactly, because someone's claimed responsibility.
Have they?
Yeah. PricewaterhouseCoopers. Admitted.
Put their hand up.
Yeah, they've put their hand up, which is a big thing to do worldwide. Now, let's just relive the moment.
And the Academy Award for Best Picture.
You're awesome. La La Land.
Guys, I'm sorry. No. There's a mistake. Moonlight, you guys won Best Picture.
Moonlight won. Come on, this is not a joke.
This is not a joke. I'm afraid they read the wrong thing.
This is not a joke. Moonlight has won Best Picture. Moonlight, Best Picture.
Now, Roo, I don't know how to break this to you, but you know the Brownlow you won?
I actually come last.
This is no joke.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, look, I've got
to... about a couple of years.
I've got Andrew Demetrio on the phone. He feels terrible about this. Anyway, there have been other major stuff-ups over time. Alice the Wag joins us now because you are the entertainment queen. Tell us about all the other famous ones, Wag.
Probably the most famous and most recent is Steve Harvey, who's that guy from Family Feud in America, and this is what he did when he was doing Miss Universe.
Miss Universe 2015 is Colombia.
Right.
I have to apologize. The first runner-up is Colombia. Miss Universe 2015 is Philippines.
Imagine dancing again.
Imagine the bitch fight backstage after that.
Crikey. Family Feud, all right. He started a feud.
Hell.
That would have been on.
Yeah. That's big. What else has happened, Wag?
And then another famous one is when Taylor Swift got awarded the best music video, then Kanye got up on stage and was so sassy because he thought Beyonce should have won for Single Ladies.
Explain sassy to us old blokes.
Like, just really rude and aggressive, but like in a really kind of hot way.
Sassy.
Yeah.
Yo, Taylor, I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time. One of the best videos of all time.
So poor Taylor Swift is standing there, having received the award.
Yeah, she's just standing there like so lifeless holding this award, and Kanye gets up and is just like, I'm going to let you finish. It's so funny.
But someone else
he
should
got
have got
shot
the
down a bit, though, by the sounds of it, didn't he?
Yeah, but everyone kind of loves Beyonce, so it was all just very awkward.
Right. That's not good.
But then this one is my favourite all-time thing, and it was Sarah Murdoch and Australia's Next Top Model. And
Australia's Next Top Model for 2010 is... It's you, Kelsey. Oh, my God. I don't know what to say right now. I'm feeling a bit sick about this. I'm so sorry about this. Oh, my God. This was a complete accident. I'm so sorry. It's Amanda. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, my God.
You said to me wrong.
What's a talent show without a few oh, my gods?
Oh, my God.
We need a few oh, my gods.
And this, like, ruined Sarah's career. She never was the same after it. She couldn't turn up to any live TV.
OMG. Now, is it true? Didn't a producer whisper in her ear or something?
Yeah,
that
was the earpiece's problem.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, and she heard it wrong, or they read out the runner-up instead of the winner, and because it was so noisy with the crowd.
So it wasn't her fault?
No, but she copped all the grunt of it, and she, I don't think...
The grunt.
The next...
grunt and blunt.
Or the brunt of it.
Is that it?
No, she needs a bit of grunt.
She needs a bit of blunt and grunt.
Anyway, so they are the... Speaking really of stuff-ups...
You've done enough emceeing around. You would have stuffed up at some point, wouldn't you?
Not really.
Just give us one of them.
Just a little thing. Last year in Melbourne, I had to present this fellow. This is from my squash background. They inducted this fellow into the Hall of Fame. Stephen Bowditch.
The Squash Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Stephen Bowditch.
Was there a big crowd there?
Yeah, believe it or not, there was, yes. Go on. Oh, have you? Oh, sorry. Oh, the Brownlow medalist. Oh, the Brownlow medalist over here.
You're allowed to have a shot at me. Oh, come on. I've got to set the scene for people to see. They need to just close their eyes and think of how many people are at the squash hall.
No, there was thousands. It was at the Palladium in London. Anyway, so I was handing him. We inducted him into the Hall of Fame. I shook his hand and it was a massive.
What was your blood alcohol reading at this point?
Let's not go there. But I wasn't driving, so that's all right.
No, but you were MC.
No, I wasn't. I was just up there to hand him his award.
Oh, so you
just had to shake. I didn't have to say anything.
Just had to get up the steps and back.
So I managed that bit. I got up the steps and we stood there, Stephen and I, on stage. And photo time. And it was a massive life-size poster of him playing an action shot with a plaque on it. And I dropped it. And it smashed into quite a few pieces. Now, there's something funny about that. And I dropped, you know, when you're high up on a stage, it went from the stage all the way down to the floor and smashed into it. And the noise it made, that was the worst bit. So I looked at this bloke in horror. I went, oh my God. You wouldn't believe it. Now, and he's Indigenous, Stephen, very good lad. He's looking, he goes, no, this is good luck. He said, in my culture, this was meant to happen. And I said, oh, thank God for that. It's true.
How's his life been since?
Oh, he's had heaps of good luck since. He said to me, no, I knew this was going to happen in my culture. This is what's meant to happen and it's good luck. So there you go. Everyone was happy.
Well done, Dits.
Thank you.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Ruined Dits for breakfast. Now, Roo, I made the mistake last Saturday night. I went out for dinner, took the lovely out for dinner. I went to the Strathmore.
They've got new owners.
They have got new owners. But 40 towers have taken over the place and I was quite shocked, actually. And I'm sitting, I had bread rolls thrown at me, I have a plate dropped, my soup fell in my lap.
Yes, we're sorry about Manuel.
Sorry, Sybil, Basil and Manuel, good morning. Welcome
good
to Triple M.
Good morning. Hello.
Yeah. What have you done? You're just taking over the Strathmore.
Yes, well, we thought we needed to give our input in, you know, a bit of a haute cuisine.
Adelaide people well behaved, you find, Basil?
Well, as far as Australians go, yes, I suppose they are. Yeah. What do you expect, really?
Some people need to be fed.
Is that right?
No, because they're not finished. My mother always tell me, you eat everything. Yeah. I remember your son. No, eat his soup.
Correct. That's right.
So I give to him.
And you did actually shove the soup in his mouth. You force-fed my son with the soup.
Forfed. No, one time I feed
no,
him.
No, force. Right. Basil, help me out here.
All I meant to, soup. Soup.
See, soup. Soup. See, yes. From Aldi, see.
Did you do the train, Manuel? You know?
The
choo-choo.
Train.
Choo-choo.
Oh, see, it's better the children like this. That's see, it, see. Yeah. How old your son again?
He's 26.
Yeah. He loves the train.
Oh, really? He loves the train.
Yeah. I think he was younger, but you know. Yeah.
Good. There they go. This is 40 Towers. Now, in a moment, we're going to actually meet the actors, but I recommend anyone to go down to this show at the Strathmore. Absolutely first class.
Do they
pick
on you?
They pick on everybody. Everyone cops it. But what it is, you sit there having your dinner, and they are the actual waiting staff. They come around. Sometimes you get your food thrown at you. Everything happens.
Sounds like a good night.
It is. We'll meet the actors in just a moment.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo, as I said, last Saturday night, I went down to the Strathmore Hotel and Fawlty Towers, part of the Fringe, absolutely superb. And I was really rapt to read in the paper. It was given 5 stars. And we've got the actors there. 5 stars. You can't do any better. Basil, played by Rob Langston. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Yeah, welcome to Adelaide. Karina Garnett is Sybil. Karina, you do a fabulous job.
Thanks very much.
And we've got a Melbourne man as well.
Yeah.
Manuel is Anthony Sotil. Have I said that right?
Yeah, Sotil. Close enough. Sotil.
Basil, I want to go to you for anything. Basil, and by the way, you can check this out online. Have a look at them, and they're in costume. Absolutely fantastic. Rob, firstly to you, how long have you been doing Basil? And I want to ask this because you move like him, you walk, you run like him, you do absolutely everything perfectly.
Yeah, that's not acting. Five years now. Yeah. I think it's 5 years. So, I mean, it's quite a lot of sort of studying him and everything. But, I mean, it's something I grew up watching anyway, so, you know.
But you look so much like him as well. You were made
for this
part.
Thank you, that's plastic surgery.
What have you done previously?
Well, actually, I've been really lucky. I went to drama school quite late. in life, really, well, sort of in comparison to a lot of people. So actually, I got this pretty soon after leaving drama school.
Yeah.
So actually, I did a few bits and pieces, of theatre in London.
Yep.
And the ad sort of came up, and I went along and had such great fun doing the audition. So from then, I've been doing this all around the world. It's you know, we do so many shows of this, you know.
How much of the show is scripted?
I think it's 65% improvised and 35% actually scripted.
Right.
So I think also it kind of depends. Like, for example, in yesterday's show, we had, during the, you know, the beginning bit before Basil seats people down, someone was on their phone.
Yeah.
So I went and got their phone. Mm. Yeah, exactly. And, and kind of said, you know, had a chat with them. But also it turns out that he was talking to Jim, who had gone to Glenelg. Mm. So basically there was just loads of references about Jim and when was Jim going to get here and putting his soup in a little saucepan for when he got, you know, so the whole show was kind of, everything was in reference to Jim almost.
Yeah, Jim. Who do you usually pick on as a target in the show? An easy target to get into the show?
No, not really. I mean, you kind of assess the crowd as you start. The first 15 minutes, it's basically us scanning the crowd, as you said, but kind of determining, all right, who's your safe players? Who are the players you really need to stay away from? and others that are kind of a little bit nervous, that are like, they're here to see a show, but they don't want to be... like thrust into the limelight. They're happy to sit back and enjoy it.
Yeah.
But don't include me, please. Most of the time you get it right. Every now and then you get it wrong. and it's always interesting when you get it wrong. That's basically what we do. The first 15 minutes at least, we're kind of picking. As the show goes on, because it is for 2 hours and there's also alcohol involved, your safe players may not be so safe by the time you get to the end of the show. So you've got to find somebody else.
And it is, we should point out, it is a proper dining experience. You actually go to the Strathmore, have dinner, buy your wine or whatever. But this, unfortunately, is the waiting staff, and it's but it's very well done. It's very, very funny and
so
very enjoyable.
So is it normal waiters as well?
Staff at the Strathmore, who have we got?
Oh,
Lewis
brilliant.
And Abby and Georgia and the chef Randall are all absolutely amazing, and we really couldn't do it without them.
And the food
really
is actually fantastic.
To be honest, if I could talk a little bit about the show, is the bit I like, even at the start, you're told to, if you just wait in the bar, and you wait in the bar area, and, I don't know, 20 minutes go by, and then next minute, Basil, you arrive, and you start saying, you know, Dietmar, your table 5, please come through.
Yeah.
And you start ushering people through. And so even right from the start, we're all a part of the show. So it's
absolutely,
it's well done. It really is.
Yeah, and it was a gift having your name as well, being German.
That's right.
It's always wonderful when that happens. It makes my life easier.
Yeah.
It's quite nice. It's what we call a soft sort of opening, really.
Yep.
So we just sort of ease our way into...
And, of course, a couple of people were late, which was good. You managed to give them a hard time.
It's always great when someone turns up late. Yeah.
Gang, thank you so much for coming in. Look, I can vouch for it. I had a wonderful night. My whole family did, and it's a brilliant show. Well done.
Thanks for having
us, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Lovely meeting you. Thank you.
Check it out on the website, too. Have a look at Manuel, Basil and Sybil.
You ever eaten anywhere like Faulty Towers, Roo? Have you got a story to tell us? Oh, a couple of mates have been in the Royal Adelaide Hospital lately. They reckon it's not too good in there.
So that's a Faulty Tower, is it?
Well, the food's just as bad, apparently.
Oh, actually, that was on the news recently. Yeah, bad stories coming out of
there. Have that?
Well, they're saying because they're closing it down, they're not spending any money on upgrading the kitchen and that sort of thing.
Well, they can still cook decent food, surely.
Yeah, you'd think so. Take in a couple of barbecues and buddy cook us.
Get the barbecue out.
Exactly. Come on. Hey, 133353, tell us about your Faulty Towers experience. Over Christmas, I had a funny one down at Goor. And the girl, she was like Basil Faulty, a female version, but she was actually quite good. But I remember, I think I told you this, I said, I'll have the fish, please. She said, have the special.
You're
I'm really keen on have the special.
Right.
Now, the special was veal. And I saw her, and I could tell she wasn't taking over. And I said, all right, I'll have the special, thanks.
And?
Was it good? Yeah, but I wanted the fish. But anyway, I had the beer.
Stand up for yourself.
And then it came to
the wine.
She
was obviously good looking.
Then it came to the wine. I said, yeah, I like a Sauv Blanc. Have the Pinot. I said, oh, no, I'm really keen. Have the Pinot. Right, we'll have a bottle of Pinot then, right? This is how it went for the whole dinner. But everything was good.
Yeah.
But This girl was
do
not.
You told.
I said to her, "Are you on commission from the winery, or what's going on here?" So that was a funny one we had. But she was a good girl, but she would not listen to one thing I said.
104.7 Triple M.
7:58 Roo and Itz for breakfast. Thanks to Rossdale Homes. Roo, phone technology. I'm hearing all sorts of things in recent times. You get to the airport now. Is it the Samsung that catches fire? You're not allowed on planes with them
for a while. They fixed that up.
Most people I know have got iPhones, but I reckon in our lifetime, all of us have had a Nokia,
haven't
we?
Of course we have.
We've all had a Nokia. So there's a fair bit happening with phone technology, and our tech expert is Trevor Long, and he's actually over in Barcelona right now for the launch of the brand new Nokia. Trevor, good morning.
Good morning, gents.
Tell us about the new Nokia. What's special about it?
Well, here's the thing. Nokia got a lot of attention when it was rumoured a couple of weeks ago they were going to bring back the 3310. Now, this is the phone that pretty much everyone owned at some point.
Yep.
It's from, 1998-99. And this whole retro idea was very, very big. So I went along to the press conference and they announced three new Android smartphones, traditional, touchscreen smartphones. Big deal. Nokia's back. That's huge. And we will get those phones in Australia. But really, everyone in the room, hundreds of people, were waiting to see this new 3310, and it was true. They announced they are bringing back the 3310. It's available in four colours. Nice little thing, slightly redesigned. Snake still on it, which is good. But here's the thing. It's a 2G mobile phone, and we have moved way ahead of that here in Australia. In fact, Telstra has already shut down their 2G network.
So what won't work? Shut
theirs down in September. It's not going to work in Australia, folks.
You're
so
kidding.
Don't get excited.
So you've gone all that way and only to be let down.
Fortunately, there's a lot more happening here than just Nokia. But I think a lot of people in Australia are disappointed. But see, the thing is, Australia's ahead of the pack. Telstra, Optus, Vodafone, our networks are excellent compared to the rest of the world. There's still heaps of places where this thing will work. And it's like 50 euros. So a cheap phone, and trust me, they'll sell millions of them.
Mm. What have Nokia been doing since the turn of the century anyway? Is that a dumb question?
No, not at all. But, Nokia sold their mobile phone business to Microsoft, who basically ruined it. And then Microsoft sold it off to another little Finnish company who have asked Nokia, the parent company, can we start using the name again on mobile phones? And they've said, yeah, go for your life.
Right.
So essentially, this is the rebirth of Nokia around the world. And if they had have launched an Android smartphone 10 years ago, they'd probably be the number one brand today because we all know Nokia.
What are their smartphones
a good publicity stunt, if nothing else.
What are their smartphones like that they're releasing?
They're excellent. They're good, solid, easy-to-use Android smartphones. The problem for all these other companies is, in Australia, we all sign up on plans at telcos, 24 months, and we want the latest $1,000 smartphone. Because we don't realise we're spending $1,000, $1,200 on a Samsung or an iPhone. But if you actually walked in and bought I think these Nokias will probably come in around the $600, $400 mark. There's great value to be had in these kind of smartphones and plenty of other brands. But unfortunately in Australia, mate, they don't sell very well if you're not an Apple or a Samsung.
Now, speaking of Samsung, we saw all the publicity a couple of months ago about catching fire. Where's that at the moment?
So they announced about a month ago, they announced that they'd done an investigation, they'd worked out what the problem was, it wouldn't happen again, sorry, all these things, and they've put in place an 8-step plan to ensure all their batteries are safe in the future. But here in Barcelona, every year for the last 3 years, they've announced their new flagship phone. Not this year. They've done nothing of the sort. They've announced a new tablet, which is good, but not exciting. So they've actually delayed the announcement of their new smartphone, I think wisely, because frankly, all we'd be talking about is, does it catch fire? Whereas right now we're saying, oh, Nokia this, BlackBerry that. And in a month from now, on the 29th of March, they will announce their next smartphone. And hopefully there'll be less will it catch fire and more how will it sell.
Comes with fire extinguisher.
Too busy putting out fires.
That's right. So hey, good on you, Trevor. Enjoy beautiful Barcelona over there.
Cheers. No worries.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Well, Roo, is it the biggest stuff up in history? I don't know. It's got to be close to it.
It has to be.
Everyone knows what we're talking about. Talking about the Oscars. But I think we now know how it happened. Let's go to Channel 9 US correspondent Laura Turner. Laura, good morning.
Good morning to you. Well, wasn't that a right royal stuff up?
Oh, it was a beauty.
Oh, my God.
Who's lost their job? Have they found the idiot?
Well, PricewaterhouseCoopers are the ones who guard those winners with their life. They're under lock and key, all of those envelopes. And they have come out and actually apologised this morning, taken full responsibility for it. It's a big embarrassment for them. They've been doing this for decades. It's a real PR thing for Pricewaterhouse to be the auditors, you know, of the Oscars, to be walking down the red carpet with those briefcases and all the winners inside. So it's a big deal for them. And just for this to happen on the biggest award of the night, you know, it's a really big PR blunder for them. But what happened was they actually have two sets of envelopes with the winners inside. So, and one guard on each side of the stage with their own set of envelopes. So somehow the envelope from the previous winner, which is Emma Stone, has been handed to the announcer for Best Picture. And so that it kind of makes you wonder how this hasn't happened before.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, someone was just daydreaming or got caught looking at something they shouldn't have been looking and didn't get rid of that
which
card.
Which would be easy to do.
It'd be very easy to do. So,
there's a lot to look at the Oscars.
Indeed. So Pricewaterhouse, this is very brave of them because obviously an international company with a massive reputation, but they have actually released something, have they, to say it was all our fault?
Yeah, they have. They've apologised and said that, you know, it's an investigation into exactly what went wrong, but, you know, they're sorry and that they take responsibility for it. So they've nipped it in the bud early, I guess, which is a good thing, but it's good for the host too. I mean, they were copying it as well. You know, what, maybe they misread it wrong or how could they not have known? Well, I think if you saw it, you noticed, you know, they were kind of wondering what to say. They were kind of fumbling over, is this the right thing to do? And then they made the announcement it was the wrong one. So I think it's a bit of a sigh of relief for them.
Now, Laura, I've only seen the highlights of it, and there are many, many highlights, believe me. The guy, the baldish fella that gets up and says, no, we didn't win, Moonlight has won, I think is he the director of La La Land, I think. I'm just wondering who made him aware of the mistake? Who is it that actually said, hey, hang on, there's been a blew-up here? Do you know how that unfolded?
I'm not exactly sure, but I know that there was a lot going on backstage. So when the La La Land actors and, you know, cast have got up to make their speeches, which they were halfway through, a lot of the guys with headsets on were all kind of running around backstage and behind them suddenly realising, no, this is wrong. So whether it was, you know, someone has actually got the right envelope and opened it, you know, is a question here. Because on the front of that envelope that they opened and read, it says, Best Actress on it. So
really?
Before they even open it, it's actually clear that it's the wrong one.
Yeah, okay.
So I think someone else has probably gone, well, hang on, I'm holding the right one. What's going on here?
Well, Laura, thanks so much for explaining to us. And Price, ironically, Laura, Triple M here in Adelaide, we are in the PricewaterhouseCoopers building, would you believe? We're on the 13th floor. It's unbelievable.
We're on the right floor or not?
We are. We've cast our votes and you were the best on the red carpet yesterday. Beautiful.
Oh, stop it.
Like your hair, huh?
Thank you. I had incredible Margot McKinney jewellery on. She's a Queensland designer and, boy, was that jewellery expensive. Wow. I'm not going to go down that path and give you the price tag, but wow.
Well, just don't give it back.
I had to give it back this morning. It hurt. I'll tell you what.
Good on you, Laura. Thanks for joining us.
Well done, Laura.
Thanks, guys.
Laura Turner, bye. Channel 9 US correspondent.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Triple M. The hard-hitting topics. The big issues.
Well, not really, but we are going deep inside the female psyche.
Ruin Dits Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruin Dits.
Alice the Way, we've got Ange the Yummy Mummy, who's married to Mr. South Australia, the package, and we've got Kelly, about to be married. Now, Kelly, it's all happening. I can tell you're growing your hair, you're getting all ready for the big day, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
What's happening today?
I'm getting my dress fitting today.
Oh. First time?
Yes, first time.
Is it local or you're flying to LA or something? Or?
No, it's local. I'm going to a local bridal shop, I think.
Right.
How many fittings do you have?
I don't know. I feel like I'm the worst bride because I'm like, yeah, not sure about a lot of things. Right. I've got a wedding planner.
Let's get
that.
Into the topics. Now, this started because, Rhea, as you know, on the weekend I did a little limo tour. There were four couples. We went around the Adelaide Hills and our four wives rolled up looking beautiful. They'd put in a lot of time and effort.
Yep.
But by mid-afternoon, my God, had it all come unraveling.
The wheels had fallen off?
The wheels had fallen off.
And you both were being perfect.
We were. We just plow on as we do and keep talking about normal
just
stuff.
Just another day of the week.
Women, were they raving on. Oh, I love you. You're my best friend. You're my best friend ever. Oh, BFF. Oh, you're like a sister. Yeah, you're like my sister, really. I love you forever, Dale. Now, my question, Roo, no. I'm going to go to you first. Are women worse on the grog than us?
We know that. That's why we're talking about it.
Yeah. Alice?
I don't think we are.
Don't lie.
We'll prove it.
Okay, so on Saturday night it was Guns N' Roses and we all went as the Triple M team. Mm. Let's just say that the girls fared much better than the boys in this instance.
Oh, this is the
and we all
M
drank
team.
The same amount. It was actually a bit embarrassing for the boys.
But the boy you're referring to is a bit of a girl, too.
Yeah. And he needs to grow.
Right.
Yeah, needs to grow.
Bossy and Matt O'Reilly.
Yeah.
And the way you see it, are women hopeless on the grog?
Oh, yeah, I think we're definitely a lot more lightweight in that aspect.
lightweight
for sure.
What do you turn into, Andrew, when you drink?
Oh, I'm actually not. I get tired and feel nauseous and just I'm pretty
ready
pathetic, really.
Lose.
I just want to go to. I'll just go to bed. But I have got friends, or you know, that we've worked with at conferences, and literally they seem fine. And then one more drink, they literally can't walk like baby giraffes, just trying to stand up, and you know, like it's not pretty. And you're right with the whole. You know, that wall breaks down and you just start telling people stuff that, yeah. You know, you're like, I love you. Yeah. You're the best person. It's pretty sad.
Our favourite, I think, every year is Melbourne Cup when you see the pictures at the end of the day, girls carrying their shoes. And,
yeah, it's not, you know, not a good look.
Mascara running over. Yeah. Kelly?
I used to work in a bar, so I think that men and women are equally bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, definitely. I've seen guys, you know, do really violent, yucky things, and I've seen women be like, and they're just revolting. But I've seen women fight as well as men. Ooh. And I just think, I'm one of the ones that's like, I just want to dance.
Yeah. Righto. Yeah. So at your wedding, we're going to dance all night.
Yeah, I'm like party town.
Okay, good. Now, Ruth, this is a bit of a serious one. Now, Mel the Button Pusher has alerted me to a website here, and the website was called EssentialKids.com, which I think a lot of parents go to and read things. Now, just bear with me. I want to read something out here. Take me a little while, but this is basically about women saying, men can never look after my kids. I would never let a man babysit my kids
tell us the stats.
She says, when her daughter was born, my husband and I made a rule. No man would ever babysit our children, no exceptions. This includes male relatives and friends, et cetera, et cetera. Group slumber parties are also out. When there's a group of excited children, it's far too easy for one of them to be lured away by a father or older brother without being noticed. And this is the last thing I'll say. When my daughter goes on play dates, I make sure she'll be supervised by a woman at all times. In fact, she had one sleepover and I spoke to my friend, the lady beforehand, and told her about our rule and said that if she's even going to pop out to the shops, for example, and leave my daughter in the care of her husband, my daughter will not be coming for a sleepover. Now, is this a bit of paranoia out of control? And you've got two children. Does it bother you that a man would ever look after them or babysit?
We know it can happen and it does happen. I think you've just got to be really cautious around where your child is staying. So my kids have a fair few sleepovers and we have kids sleep at our house. But
have you ever thought about
quite
that?
Quite often, yeah, I have thought about it.
You have?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, not let a male, you know, be in the house, but I've thought about you obviously have to be cautious around what house they are going to and do I know the parents. So Rob and I are very big on, you know, how well do we know the parents? You know, are they in our social group? If Ava asked for a sleepover, I've never met the parents before or even, you know, just the child, I would be hesitant. So I think about it just out of caution because you don't want, and it does happen, unfortunately.
I'll just read out a few stats just to help make a decision here. So with children that have had been offended, 30.2% by a male relative. 13.5% by a father or stepfather.
You're kidding.
A tiny 0.8% is by a mother or stepmother, and a 0.9% is by a female relative. So those stats are heavily slanted towards males.
What about this other one? 16% by a family friend.
Yeah, that's right. 16 and 15% by a neighbour or a known person.
Mm. Alice, when you were young, surely if you were babysat, isn't it just always a girl anyway? Don't we always think, parents think, oh, who's the young teenage girl we know that could come and babysit?
It is always a girl, like babysitter, but my mum and dad would probably never have thought twice about putting me with one of dad's mates or something, I don't think.
Yeah, but you never did it, though, did you?
No, like if mum and dad had to quickly pop out to the shops, they would have definitely left me with like the male neighbour or something. Not thought, but they know him so well. Hmm. I think it just depends on how well you know the person. Like if I had a kid, I would not hesitate leaving it with you or Roo because I know you guys, you know? Hmm. But
Well, they'd learn to punt. They'd have a quick
drink. They'd be addicted to
Sammy's blind. Kelly, is babysitting only for girls?
No, I don't think so. But we had, when I was growing up, we had babysitters and almost a nanny over the school holidays when my parents would work. Both of them, they had a business. So we had nannies and they were always females. But, yeah, I don't think my parents would have thought twice about leaving me with someone they knew. But statistically, yeah, you are more likely to be killed, to be hurt by someone that you know. It's pretty...
Killed? Well, it's a bit dramatic, isn't it?
It's true. It's statistically speaking, you are more likely to be harmed by someone you know. Mm.
I can't believe
because
this.
Because it's the trust, it's especially with young kids, it's the trust value. You'll go away.
All right.
With that person.
Thanks, Angels. Good luck today, Kelly, with
fitting.
How much? So, when's the wedding?
April.
Didn't you get invited?
It's obviously on the way. Yeah. So, you're concerned about your body shape, you have to lose weight, what do you have to do?
Yeah, I've got a few more kgs.
You've got to be joking.
No, I'm shredding for the wedding. I'm
shredding for the wedding.
I'm lifting. I'm pumping iron, you know, trying to be Mr. South Australia.
All right. Thanks, Angus.
Thank you.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo, this is a very, very difficult topic to talk about, and you'll understand why in just a moment because it involves a very, very good friend of ours. But basically today is the last day that parents can sign a consent form for their kids to get a meningococcal vaccine. Now, I'm led to believe this would normally cost $300 at your GP, and you need two of these, so we're talking $600.
Yep.
So surely it makes sense today. Now, most people would be leaving shortly, or some kids maybe just about out the door, or if you're driving them to school. If you haven't signed the form, we would urge people to sign it today and get it to your school and take part in this program.
Yep.
Now, let's go back just a few years. A very, very good friend of ours, Oren Klemic, and his wife, Jewel. We'll let Oren tell his story. I'll get him on now. Oren, good morning.
G'day, Dits. How you going?
I'd ask you to tell your story. You tragically lost your son, Jack, at the age of 17, and you and your wife, I think you just headed overseas for a holiday. Is that correct? Tell us what happened.
Yeah, correct. It was hard. We were away. We were away in the States for the first time ever on our 25th wedding anniversary. But, and got a call. We're on our way back. We're only away for about sort of 10 or 12 days. And on our way back, I got a call in one of the airports saying that Jack was in bad nick. He was a perfectly healthy young lad. He played footy for his school on the Saturday afternoon. I went to an 18th Saturday night. I woke up Sunday with a headache. Doctor was called in on the Sunday and couldn't diagnose anything. You know, thought he might be getting the flu or Ross River, or they really weren't sure. Just had a shocking headache. Basically, you know, probably 7, 8, 9 hours later, in the early hours of Monday, he was rushed to hospital unconscious and on life support, and which was switched off on the Monday. We miss our gorgeous boy. So that's the speed at which meningococcal can work. And it's virtually undetectable till it's too late. Yeah, it's been a hard 7 years. It really has. We miss our gorgeous boy.
Mm. How much did you know about meningococcal before Jack passed away, Oren?
Oh, Roo, nothing. Absolutely nothing. The doctors sort of in the airport said, oh, we think it might be meningococcal. And I didn't know what that meant. And I said, oh, well, you know, give him a tablet and get him right. But, it's just too bad. This particular strain he had just goes to the brain. It starts with a headache, and, you know, headache's very hard to diagnose. You know, by the time he got really bad, it was too late.
Now, Oren, you've got two beautiful girls. I would have thought when you rushed home and saw how dire the situation was, is it contagious in this sort of situation? To anyone listening, that if it happens to them, what are the next steps? Does everyone in the house need to get straight to a doctor? How does it work?
It's not quite like that, but out of caution, that's what they do. Like, his entire footy team came into hospital on the Monday morning and were all put on antibiotics just in case. But it's incredibly hard to contract it. But if you do, you know, it's a killer. So to be vaccinated against it, which is what this study's doing, and you're probably aware, guys, University of Adelaide and SA Health are doing this study for years 10, 11 and 12.
Yep.
Pretty well every school in the state have joined up, which is great. If everyone takes it on board, if all the kids take it on board, there's going to be about 60,000, 65,000 kids across the state vaccinated against it. 65,000 kids will not die from a meningococcal. But today, for the kids to be able to go to do it, you have to have parental consent forms. Mm. And today is the last day.
Hey, Oren, without being personal, did you try and trace back where Jack might have contracted it from, or was it irrelevant in the end?
Yeah, Roo, it's really hard. I did ask the doctors that same question, and they have no idea. It's just breathed in. It's a germ, like catching the flu. You know, where did you get it from? You know, at the end of the day, you just don't know.
Yeah.
And it takes about a week, I believe, to incubate.
Right.
So it takes a little while to get going, but he was fine. He played a good game of footy on the Saturday, woke up on the Sunday with a headache, and, 24 hours later, he died. So we're just missing terribly, and you've got a free vaccination against this killer disease available to you, but you've got to get your consent form in.
Oren, beautifully spoken, mate, and not an easy thing for you to do. Thank you so much for coming on to talk to us.
Thanks, Oren.
Oh, it's Roo. Thanks so much for having me on. It's an important topic. I really appreciate your ringing.
Good on you. Oren Clemmick, and Roo, I didn't want to go down this path with Oren while he was on because it would be hard for him, but his son was one of the best lads you'd ever, ever meet. Look, good at footy, good at cricket, but gave back to his community as well. He was a St. Peter's College boy, and I got to meet him a few times, but when my kids played cricket against St. Peter's, young Jack was their coach, and so he'd go back and coach some of the younger teams, and he was a prefect and just an absolute model kid, he really was. And I'll tell you what, went to the funeral, unfortunately, just a day that you shouldn't have to go through, and Oren, his dad, stood up and gave the greatest eulogy I've ever heard. To get up and talk about your own son.
Couldn't imagine having to do that.
Try doing that. We urge everyone to get involved in this today.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
It's going to be a hard day today. 37 degrees we're expecting.
Yeah, feel for the tradies out there, but hopefully they've started work earlier and they can knock off a bit earlier.
Yeah, come on, bosses. Be kind out there today. Let's find out more. Let's go to Channel 9's weather presenter, Jess Braithwaite. Jess, good morning.
Good morning. Maybe we could all knock off early, actually, on that note.
Meet you down the pub, Jess.
the beach.
So will it be 37 today? Is that correct?
Yes, I know. Yeah, 37 today, 37 tomorrow. It's technically the last day of summer today, but obviously summer looking like it's hanging around a little bit longer this week. Pretty much heatwave, actually, conditions all week.
What about Thursday, Friday? Is it going to continue right through? Are we going to get a little respite later in the week?
Yeah, we did. We got a little bit of good news that initially we were looking at 4 37-degree days in a row. So that was, going to be pretty intense. The Bureau's updated the forecast now. So we now got 2 37-degree days in a row, then sort of mid-30s. So Thursday 36, Friday 34. But we're going to have to watch that forecast because those numbers, they sort of jump around a little bit as they get closer.
Any idea how long-term it is after that? Are we expecting this to go on into next week?
Yeah, definitely. We're still in the 30s over the weekend. Once you get past like a 7-day forecast, it starts to get a bit iffy. But certainly for the next 7 days, we're looking hot. We're looking like, the biggest taste of summer we've had in a little while, actually.
Now, we've had the wettest summer on record for a long time, I think ever, maybe. What's the forecast or predictions for sort of March, April in terms of rain and heat?
Yeah, so looking forward, it's kind of going the other way. We're being told now to expect drier than average conditions for the next 3 months. Yeah. So hotter than average and drier than average.
Okay.
So we're getting a bit of everything in Adelaide.
Yeah. Now, another question about these warm days coming up. Do you happen to know, because the days I don't enjoy is when it's that north wind and it's coming in from the north. Is it going to be like that, do you know?
No, it's not actually. It's a high-pressure system that's bringing us this heat. And without getting too geeky, on those really hot days, you get exactly what you're talking about, that massive northerly wind. We have the big fire dangers. Yep. Everyone's on red alert. It's not like that. It's actually going to feel quite still. We've only got light winds, and they're floating in around this high. So that is one good thing. We're not going to get that blasting northerly.
Time to go fishing by the sounds of it.
Yeah, well, Roo and I have to go.
Heaps of people down the jetty at Semaphore today, I'll tell you that.
Roo and I have to go to the Port Lincoln Cup this Friday, so we need it to be just not. We don't want a north wind. We don't want to be nice.
Perfect.
Nah, you'll be fine. You'll be fine over there, nice
good.
And warm.
Now, Jess, we saw you on TV earlier this morning on the Today Show.
Mm.
So, Roo, she's down the beach talking about the weather. That's her job.
Tough gig.
They say to her,
it's so hard.
Go to the beach, and about every half hour we might have to talk to you, but not necessarily.
No, it's very hard work actually. Sitting out by the jetty,
you're
talking to
kidding.
The fishermen, watching the sunrise,
having an ice cream,
very hard
ice cream
job.
For
yeah.
breakfast.
I haven't had the ice cream yet. Maybe I'll hit that up next.
Good on you,
Jess. Thanks for that.
See you guys.
There you go. Jess Braithwaite, Channel 9 news presenter. So it's going to be warm for quite a while, Roo.
Yeah, a couple of tough days and cooling off a bit towards the end of the week.
Yeah. Ruined It's for Breakfast, thanks to Rossdale Homes.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast for Rossdale Homes. Because trust is a must. RossdaleHomes.com.au 104.7 Triple M.